Hear now the word of Almighty God, inspired by His Spirit and profitable for us. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Thus far the reading of God's holy word from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 29. Here we have the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, Christ focusing our attention on the fear of God and how it makes men truly good in every way. Verses 15 through 20, we have a caution against false prophets. Remember, judge not doesn't mean you can't judge who is a true or a false prophet. In fact, he gives us the marks of a false prophet. Beware of false prophets. They're a great danger, in other words. They might be unnoticeable. They lie. They feign authority. 2 Peter 2:1, they are called false teachers. 2 Corinthians 11:13, Paul calls them false apostles, deceitful workers. Notice he says, our Lord says, in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, a ravening wolf is extremely hungry, ready to kill whatever he can to eat it. That's what they're like. But what do they look like? What is their appearance? What do they say of themselves? Well, we are true apostles. We are true prophets. We are great teachers. Be on your guard then. There are many deceivers out there. Watch the source of their doctrines, the conduct that they exhibit and require. Where do they get their teaching from? Well, he says, ye shall know these false teachers by their fruits, verse 16. Here's another case requiring judgment, not rash judgment, but according to fruit and evidence, things that come to ripeness. What do you see in the teaching? Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Here's the evidence. Here are the works. Here are their words. Here are the effects. Judge these things, and you will see whether they are true or false. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. It is not possible. It does not have the power, nor vice versa. This is the evidence used to judge. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. God reserves the damnation of hell for false teachers with their evil fruit. They teach men that the grace of God is a license to sin, as we will see. Now remember, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that those would be great in his kingdom who did what? Who taught all of his commandments and did it themselves and taught others to do it. Those who would be least in the kingdom of God were those who did what? They ignored even the least of his commandments. That's what he's talking about. They're ignoring his law. They're ignoring his commandments, and therefore, he says, they're false. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, when we use the word profession, pro is before, and phaso in Latin means to speak. So a profession is what you speak forth. What do they speak forth? What is their profession? Lord, Lord. Jesus is Lord. Christ is my King. But then when the Lord says, thou shalt, what do they say? No, I won't. Not everyone that saith unto me, many will profess. But this profession of the lordship of Christ does not guarantee an eternal inheritance. What does he say? Verse 21. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, this is a present relative participle. The doing one, the one constantly doing the will of my Father. Perfectly? No. Sincerely? Yes. Striving and growing in it? Yes. Those ones, he says, constantly doing the will of my Father, they are the ones that shall inherit. The doing ones. Why? Because they bear the image of the Father. That's how you know they're adopted. They bear the Father's image. Is the Father good? Is he holy? Is he righteous? Well, they're going to be like the Father. If they're adopted by him, if they're renewed in his image, of course, they will be those doing the will of the Father in heaven. And if they are children dear to the Father, bearing his image, shall they not inherit? Now, what is this will of God? Well, it is his revealed will. That's what Jesus started the Sermon on the Mount with. Here is my law. And if your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. The will of his Father, God's revealed precepts, his statutes, which David says, thy statutes are my inheritance. They're my heritage. They're part of God's testament. Let us reflect the Father's image. Let us do his will. Let us be made conformable to that will of God revealed to us, his holy law, his commandments. Now notice, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? You know, false teachers can be great preachers. They can declare in God's name. Will they declare what God says for them to declare? No. But can they say, I'm doing this in God's name? I did this, Lord Jesus, in your name. I even did miracles in your name. Jesus will profess unto them. He will speak forth unto them. They've made a profession of him. He makes a profession disowning them. To their doom, not concealing, but openly publishing, they are doomed. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So much for the universal love of God. He says to these false teachers, I never loved you. That's what it means to know someone in this context. You were not, it's not like he's scratching his head. I never figured out who you were. I didn't know your name, where you lived, what you taught. No, he knew all that. That's not what it means to know them. It means I did not have that love for you as a member of my household bearing the image of my Father. I never knew you. And notice, Depart from me, ye that work what? Iniquity. The word is lawlessness, anomia. You people who practice unlawful deeds, who are not ordered by God's commandments, his namas, his law. You cast off his law, and then you profess to teach in my name and say that I'm your Lord. Jesus had no love for them. He did not consider them as his brethren. They were not adopted by his father. They have no inheritance, no family likeness. And again, ye that work iniquity is another present relative participle. Ye, the unlawful ones, those ones who are constantly working lawlessness. That iniquity, that lawlessness, wherein men violate the known will of God revealed in his law. I note then this doctrine. Conformity to God's revealed law, or his will, his scriptures, is the measure of the sincerity of a claim to receive Christ as Lord. You can say, I can say, Lord, Lord. Those are just words. Jesus says the measure of whether or not you sincerely receive me as Lord is what? Do you do the revealed will of God? Are you those constantly practicing iniquity, or those constantly practicing the will of his Father? Working lawlessness, much less justifying lawlessness, is a mark of the black chain of reprobation. If you are hated by God, doomed to inherit eternal death, you will practice lawlessness. You will not care what God's law says. It won't mean anything to you. It won't compel you to do good. It's not written on your heart. Let us then be a holy people, hoping in God's word of promise, confirming and conforming our lives to the revealed will of God, bringing forth fruit both in our faith, the doctrines we embrace, and our lives, giving glory to God by obedience to his revealed will. He is our Lord. That means he can command us. We are his slaves. He can tell us what to do, and we are required to do it. Therefore, he says, in conclusion from this, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, hear them with faith, with hope, with love, lay them up in your hearts, practice them in your lives. Do not deceive yourself, I hear it, that's enough. No. You must hear and you must do, he says. I will liken him unto a wise man. Now, this song that little children are taught to sing is much abused. Why? Because they never mention the will of God, the law of God, the revelation. How do you know? It's not the rock as in Jesus is the rock. No. This is not the Logos personal. This is the Logos scriptural. This is the Logos legal. This is the law of the Logos, his commandments he's talking about, not Jesus personally being your foundation, although that is true. It is not taught in this passage. The wise man in this passage builds his house upon the commandments of Jesus Christ, not upon Christ personally in this passage. Do we build our salvation on Christ personally? Yes, it's taught all over the place in the Bible. That's not what he's saying here. He's talking about the commandments, the words that he spoke, that he reinforced his law in this passage, the Sermon on the Mount, the will of God in heaven, their Father, that must be heeded to, which is the opposite of iniquity and lawlessness. The word inscripturated. Jesus does not separate himself, the word personal, from the word scriptural. He says the two are joined. You can't have Christ and not have his law. You can't have his law and not have Christ. He puts them together. They must go together. When the strong winds and the storm and the rain comes, when the trials and the tests, will you have lawless sand or will you have a lawful rock? That's what he's saying. What's the difference? Do you hear and do his commandments, the will of his Father, or do you walk in lawlessness and wickedness? The same trials come upon both of the houses. The one endures because, as our Lord says, he heard and did my words, these sayings of mine. Logos, these doctrines, these rational utterances, these teachings, these sermons, these laws. But he that doeth them not, verse 26, shall be likened unto a foolish man. Now, if you read the book of Proverbs, you will find what a fool is. He is a man who does not fear God, who does not have respect for his law, in other words. And Jesus is not saying something different. A foolish man disregards the law of God. He doesn't want to hear it. He wants to walk in his own ways. He thinks, my laws for myself are better than God's laws. If I really want to live, it means to sin. Sin is what my life is all about. Lawlessness is what I love. Do you know what the wise man's life is all about? What does God command me to do? What do his laws tell me is true and good and right? Let me build my life upon those doctrines, those teachings. Do you know what a false teacher tells you? Don't worry about that. Doesn't matter. You can call him Lord and not do what he commands you. You can just hold him as your Savior. Don't worry about having him as your Lord. Do not be deceived. It is good to profess that Jesus is your Lord. But if you deny him by your works and say, King Jesus, don't sit on your throne. Just make intercession and forgive my sins. I don't want you telling me what to do in your law. You think Jesus can be divided in three parts? Just give me the right arm and the right leg and the right part of the... No, you take the whole Christ or you take none of Christ. That's what he's saying. You want to profess me as your Lord, you better listen to me as your King, as your lawgiver, as your judge. Real living, listen, real living is lawful living. Death is sin. Sin is death, period. Do not be deceived. You can profess Jesus all you want, but you must do what he says, or you are a fool, or I am a fool. If we profess to know him and our works deny him, that is foolishness. He must rule us, or our words of profession are empty. Our house is ill-founded. Our end is doom. Then notice the impression Christ's doctrine made upon his hearers. The people were astonished at his doctrine, both what he had said and the manner of his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority. Now, let me distinguish. Jesus is the only one that can teach this way. He is the only one who can say, you have heard that it has been said, but I say unto you. Why? Because he's God in the flesh. So it's correct. He is teaching as one having authority. But there's also a secondary sense. He did not teach as the rabbis, and if you have a chance to ever listen to their rabbis talk or watch a video of their rabbis, what you will find is this. Well, so-and-so says this. So-and-so says that. The Talmud says this. The tradition says that. Shammai says this. This guy says that. Where is the law of God? Where is Moses? Where are the prophets? Well, they're not there. Doesn't really matter to them. What matters is the traditions. That's what matters. And this is true, unfortunately, in many Christian churches. Their opinions are all formulated off of some nice idea. And those nice ideas may have things in them that are true, just like the Jews. They may have things that are true in their doctrines. But the manner of their teaching has nothing to do with the living God speaking to them in his oracles. It has to do with men and what do men say. Our Lord did not teach as such. No mere repeater of the Talmud, the fathers, the elders, the doctors, but rather a strict scriptural declaration as the Son of God who inspired the prophets to give them the word of God. The great prophet of the church had showed his head. The teacher of teachers, the source of truth, the one with power to declare the word, both properly teaching the scriptures and expositing infallibly its truth. I note that though there is no unique authoritative teaching office such as Christ had, yet to a lesser degree, this must be present in all ministers. Where do they get their authority from? From their confession of faith? No. From their catechisms? No. From the word of the living God. That's the authority. And praise God, our confession and catechisms recognize that and tell us this is the authority, not us. Pray then for your pastor, for the elders of the Reformed Presbyterian Church General Assembly, and for the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ throughout this area, this commonwealth, this nation, to faithfully, boldly, and regularly exposit the words of Christ to their flocks. That's how the kingdom comes, the means of grace. The saints are edified. The people grow in obedience to the commandments of Christ. That is true teaching, and we must pray for the Lord to raise such up.